Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Who Inspire. I'm Cynthia Pooler. My guest today is Catherine Jones. And Catherine has started a Facebook group for podcasters. So Catherine and I are going to talk about podcasting and the importance of podcasting. So Catherine, when did you first become interested in podcasting?
Well, there is a funny story. When I started, it wasn't called podcasting. It was online radio, and it wasn't until a few years ago that I learned what I was doing with online radio was podcasting.
Okay.
So it was by accident.
Wow.
So how I got started with online radio, I was working with a magazine, so I had gotten my feet wet in the media community, and someone just suggested it to me. They said, you should try Blog Talk Radio. And I was like, what is that? I had heard of a blog, but I hadn't heard of Blog Talk Radio. And so They showed me the site. They showed me the site 12 years ago. I logged in, and Cynthia, if I haven't sent it to you, I will. I have my first recording. I save it for all people who think that they can't do podcasting, because my very first episode, I fumbled and I was nervous and I didn't know what to expect.
Oh, my God.
Talking to myself, because there was no one in the room with me. You just, you know, pick up your phone or, you know, log into your computer, and now you're doing a show.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no immediate feedback, and I had no idea what I was doing for a really long time in my head. But when I look back on it, it was just a few months. So it wasn't hard to pick up, and people that already enjoy speaking with you, that's who's going to tune in initially. So when I got started, it was just a suggestion from someone, and I fumbled right into it.
So, there had to be a reason why you thought podcasting is for you, because you know, it's a new technology, and it's different, and, you know, you hear about, podcasting on the TV and on the radio, but I don't think the average person like you and I have fully grasped the concept of podcasting. So what was it about podcasting that triggered your imagination?
Well, I definitely agree that we have not grasped the concept of podcasting and the power of it. What grabbed my attention about it at the time was I needed a job, because I had quit my job to help someone else with their business, and we separated, and I had nothing to do to earn income. And I didn't know if it would make money or not, but I didn't want to go back to a job. So that was what really pushed me to make it work, because I really just didn't want to go back and get a job. And when I started, my personal theme was quit that job, live your passion. Still believe that. But as time went on, I learned how media passes worked and places that you could be, interviews that you could get, and what that could mean for your personal reputation and resume. So it may have taken me 3 years of working from this unknown concept of online radio. For people to respect me, see that I'm consistent, and see that they can count on me, and I can make a difference for them with this online podcast thing. And people were skeptical of it 12 years ago, and it was it may have been 20 years old when I started podcasting was. And I mean, for it to be between 10 and 20 years old, it still hadn't grasped, and people hadn't really understood what it's for, because back then you had to have an auxiliary cord. There was no Bluetooth in your car, so you could sync your phone to your radio and listen to a podcast. You also had people, they had data on their phone. That was more of a thing back then. So people had to choose what they use their data on. So these are the things I had to work through and my need to create a job and not go back to a job made me overcome those obstacles, teaching people how to tune into the show, letting them know that there'll be a recording and they don't have to listen to it live, but I would like them to, inviting people to the show to get people more aware of it was a lot of work, but just that pull not to go back to a job is really what made me stay, Cynthia.
You know, when you put the TV on and, you know, Cuomo and had a podcast, Don Lemon had a podcast together, and, you know, well-known people have a podcast. So All they've got to do is say, listen to my podcast. You can get it any place, you know. But for a person who's not well-known like people on the TV, it's more difficult to make people aware that this is what you're doing. How do you overcome something like that?
Oh, boy. When we regular folks get the opportunity to talk about ourselves, we find it real, like somebody puts you on the spot. I would talk about myself, but just kind of mixing it in a conversation. But when it becomes my point, like I have to make sure Cynthia knows that I'm doing a podcast, it feels more pressurized and it's not natural. And it's natural to feel unnatural about it. How do you overcome that? Is you come face-to-face. I think podcasting brings you face-to-face with your fears, and you have to walk through it or walk away from it, which means you won't be doing podcasting. So we don't want to not do podcasting. So in order to overcome it, I had to admit, oh, boy, it's uncomfortable talking about myself to tell people. You know, basically it felt like I'm saying, ooh, look at me. Look what I'm doing. But if you don't have the marketing dollars for someone else to say, hey, look at Cynthia, tune into Cynthia's show, then you have to go out and let people know. So how I overcame that, one was recognizing, ooh, I don't really, you know, dig talking about myself. You know, I think that I may be coming across wrong. But the other thing was when I started inviting people as guests on my show, it made it easier because now sometimes they would help. Hey, join This Needs to Be Said. I'm going to be on there. So when I invited more people, that helped get more exposure. And then those people said, I want to interview too. How do I get an interview? So by doing interviews is one way to do it. Another way I've tried in the 12 years is having a panel. So my initial show, it was me and maybe five other people, and they had a certain thing that they talked about, men's health, cooking romantically. I had my cousin, she's a chef, and we always wanted to, you know, make food sexy. I had a sex doctor on the show. I had a pastor on the show, and they were with me for 5 years. So we had a panel, and that means I wasn't responsible for all of the content, which also meant, again, I'm not the only one responsible for telling others about my show. So it helps to collaborate with others. It helps to invite guests on your show. A panel discussion, and you don't have to do it for a long time. You could do a theme. So a panel discussion could be about men's health, and four voices speak on different perspectives of men's health. Mm-hmm. And just get help from other people and make them see, hey, when you come on my show to talk about your product, your service, your business, this is advertising for you, and show them how it works. So the biggest thing has been collaboration. I don't have to say that.
Okay, so from your podcast, then you decided to do a group for podcasters. Tell us a little bit about your Facebook group.
Well, I actually inherited that group, but I've been in the group for at least 7 years. And the guy who started the group, Ramon Garrett, he brought anybody who was on Blog Talk, because it used to just be for Blog Talk only. It wasn't for any other online communication or radio show or podcast. It was just for Blog Talk. So the only people who could be in that group had to have their own Blog Talk show. So I would help with vetting, making sure they had a show, making sure we could follow them, making sure that they would be good for the group, because the group's purpose was to network with other shows, also to find guests, and then for training, because sometimes, you know, people didn't know what to do, like I didn't when I started. I just, you know, got an account and figured it out, and many of us was like that. So we decided to do training. And so Ramon asked me, would I help, you know, coordinate the training? And it was pretty much like what I did for the radio show, invite a guest for a particular topic. But it was easier because the group was, you know, very targeted for us to help each other. And so we did about 18 months of training before we kind of got too busy and people started to expand. And then some more years went by and activity died down in the group a little bit, but the people stayed in the group and they still posted about their show. So I think that they were still getting some value, but I was like, I really want to bring the training back. But the problem I saw like last year was that we're still only focused on Blog Talk Radio. So I changed the name of the group to Podcast Industry Network Directory, or PIND, P-I-N apostrophe D. And I wanted to open it up to all podcasts because people are doing a podcast on YouTube, social media lives. You can record a video on your phone and you could text that to your friend, use WhatsApp or whatever. So there's so many different ways to do a podcast, and it means so many different things. It means so many different things, but it looks like so many different things now. It's not just audio. You can have a video podcast, and all of these things are really, really cool because 12 years ago, these things weren't here. In fact, I would say the Facebook Live, maybe the last 2 to 3 years. So just think about 9 years of not having that instant access to social media where you've built a following of people, and now you have to go over to another platform and start from zero and hope those people on Facebook follow you over there. So, yeah, that was a lot to overcome. So I'm happy to see more opportunities for podcasters. So I changed the name of the group to PIND, and I want more people, more different platforms of podcasting to join so that they can collaborate, cross-promote, find guests, and get training.
And also, you could do a podcast and even a radio show on Zoom, right?
You can, yes, yes, you absolutely can. And Zoom has a lot of features.
Right. And the thing about, like, maybe Zoom and maybe a lot of other platforms that I don't know is that you could do video and audio. You know, you could have two different, you know, you could stream it.
You can do the video
on
and the audio on it. Yeah.
Right.
You're saying you could do the video and the audio. Is that what you were saying?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
So how many people do you have in your Facebook group?
Last I checked, I want to say it was 364. We had 400, but there were some accounts that were deactivated. So I went ahead and took those out of the group. But we have 364 people, and that number had been consistent for years. That's enough.
So how many of your people do they, I'm sure that they exchange information on how to stream and different aspects of getting their message out there, right?
There are some more. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I lost my train of thought.
In the group, I want people to share tips because we have done that in the group before. We've learned things like if you're doing an intro for your show and you only can, you know, do 30 seconds, there was this word counter, free online software at one point that you can, you know, make sure that you don't go over 30 seconds in talking. So you type out what it is you want to say. Being able to manage your time was a big thing at one point. Finding graphics using a site like Canva.com. I'm sorry I don't recall the one for the free word counter, but if you Google free word counter, you'll find it. Canva is good for graphics. So, you know, when those things started, and MailChimp is good for your newsletter, you know, doing free and really cheap tools for your business, We used to share those tips, but I think, you know, everybody's just kind of gotten into the groove of their show, and some new people may want to know that information. But I have experienced in the group that they're real good about sharing information and not just depending on me.
So, you know, what I find so intriguing about, you know, podcasting is how the new technology changed things. Because I tell younger people, when I was their age, the only means of communication was the telephone in their homes. And now you've got your cell phone, you've got texting, you've got a camera on your cell phone, you've got podcasting, you've got Zoom, and there's so many things. And the technology is constantly changing and evolving. What's your view of that?
I never thought I'd have a back in my day story. You know what I'm saying? But it's the same. I've seen all of that, from talking on the phone to being, you know, corded phone to cordless phone to the start of car phones, all of that. So I've seen the technology change as well. I'm fascinated with the smartphones that we carry and how much they can do, because you can do a podcast from your phone. You don't have to have any fancy, you don't have to have any major equipment. Your phone is equipped for that. You can do video, you can do audio right from your phone, which is really cool. So the technology has changed, because the phone used to be just for talking, and you can do everything.
Right.
It's like a computer in your hand, right?
But, you know, when I talk, I'm a baby boomer. So when I talk to people about my, you know, doing podcasting and stuff, they say, or even being on Facebook or Twitter, they it's not for them. It's like, oh, I don't want to do anything like that. But they from my perspective, they don't grasp the concept of being in something like this, where technology changes, your perspective changes. You could do a lot more. I think this is really an exciting time. Wouldn't you agree?
I do agree. I remember 20 years ago wanting to publish a book, and it's so easy to do it now. Years ago, you would have had to buy 1,000 copies of your own, you know, book and have it with you and try to sell it if you were going to be a self-published author. Now you can do print on demand through Amazon and other platforms. So, yes, technology is definitely different and more exciting. The ease of use is amazing to me.
Yes, it really is. And, you know, I don't think it's going to stop with everything that we've got right now. I think it's just going to keep on evolving. And the evolution process and being a and being involved in the evolution process is really interesting. So from my podcast, basically how I got started, I knew about podcasting, and I live in the city of Albany, which is the state capital of New York, and I've always loved politics, and I was intrigued with technology, so I just combined my two interests. I started a podcast called Focus on Albany, and from that I learned that there was a community radio station that was, you know, starting up. So I joined that. So I'm both on my podcast and on the radio, you know, simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really exciting. I never thought I'd be a radio celebrity.
And you're syndicated, absolutely. So it's phenomenal. It is phenomenal. I think when people don't grasp the concept, it's like, what's in it for me? Why would I do that if what I'm doing currently is working? And it's a challenge to get them to see it without a demonstration. So what I usually do is invite them on to see it, and it's something about the magic of the microphone that brings people to life. And it's just, or like green eggs and ham, you have to try it so you'll know you like it. So I usually invite those people, you know, to be a guest for me to interview them, and sometimes even helping them see an idea like, hey, Cynthia, have you thought about doing a four-part series on politics? And you say, well, I have or I haven't, and no matter what your answer is, well, if you haven't thought about it, what would you do if you thought about it? And you say, well, I have thought about it. And I say, well, you know, what did you think about it? And you and we'll lead the discussion that way. But it's going to lead one way or the other for me to invite you to my show to do that series that I've dreamed up for you. Because what's in it for them is the...
Right. And the beauty of podcasting is you're not regulated by the FCC. So, I mean, I don't like to have people on my show that, you know, say vulgar words and stuff, but I can cover any topic I want in a real professional manner and get a message out that they don't hear on the mainstream media. And to me, that's very, very important.
Well, when you're talking about politics, you're absolutely right. It's very, very important. And if a person is thinking, well, what can I offer that's different from anyone else? It's you. You're different from anyone else. So do a show. And then at first, I suggest people do the show for themselves. Do it for you. Don't do it because you want fame and fortune, because that doesn't come like that. You have to build up a following, and people who enjoy podcasts want to trust that you're there consistently. So show up consistently for yourself. Like for me, it took me 3 years from zero of not knowing nothing about podcasting until I was pretty well versed in how to speak in the community of radio and the different ways, because there was traditional radio. I learned there's traditional radio is called terrestrial radio. I had no idea.
Right.
And so there's internet radio, and then there is satellite radio, and that was when I got started. So I'm sure there's several different things now. But it was like, well, if I wanted to sell advertisement to a business, I found it harder to convince someone who has a storefront and no online presence to be a part of an online business. But if the business was online, that was easy. It made sense to them. I'm online, you're online, you know, yes, let's do this. So I had to learn, you know, while it's a business and while I could do advertising on my show without any regulations of any body above me, I had to pick the right people or I was going to be discouraged a lot. So yeah, I think I said everything I wanted to say on that point.
Okay. But to people listening who have an idea, who has a viewpoint, that idea of viewpoint across to other people, how could they... How could they start doing it? You know, cause actually, all you need is a way to get your voice heard, you know, through podcasting or whatever, and then a social media presence. And, you know, with you know, like with my community radio station, we have streaming. So, you know, you know, it's a low-power FM station here in Albany, but because it streams, people can hear me in Russia. They can hear me in Italy. They can hear me in Alaska. There's no boundaries once you have a streaming service, right?
You're right.
So do podcasts, and I never really thought about this until we're talking right now, do podcasters have a streaming service that they could utilize?
Well, several. Blog Talk Radio is one. Anchor is another one. If they're already on Facebook today, I would recommend starting on Facebook. I wouldn't even recommend Blog Talk Radio, which is where I started. I would recommend them secondary, because right now, if you got friends on Facebook or Twitter, or actually I'm not sure if Twitter does live, LinkedIn does live, Instagram does live, and Facebook does live, I know for sure, and I know TikTok is a brand new one. But if you're already on those platforms, just start your show there. Don't go and start somewhere else. It's not necessary in these days. Before it was. And once you get comfortable on Facebook, then I would expand. But start on Facebook. Most people are already on Facebook. Just start right where you are and see how people receive the information that you share. You have to test it. That's part of business. You have to test to see what works and what doesn't work. So you got to do it anyway.
Right, right. So tell us how people can join your group and to share information with other podcasters.
On Facebook, it's the Podcast Industry Network Directory, or PIND, P-I-N apostrophe D, and you can join that group. What I only ask that you have a show, that you already have a show that you're starting. If you want to get started, inbox, try to join the group anyway, but explain it to me when you get in the group. Hey, I'm really interested in starting a group, but I really prefer if you already have a show, which you can start right through Facebook. But if you're interested in starting, please join in and send me a message, because I offer training free to those who are in that group. So if for no other reason, myself and others will help you with your show for free, something that you will have to pay for if you're not a member of the group to someone else, because that's what people charge for out here. And it's okay for them to do that, but that's one of the perks of the membership. And the membership has no fee. You just have to be approved. Make sure that you submit your email address when you join.
So the reason why I think this is so important is because mainstream media is becoming more and more consolidated. And, you know, there's really no diverse voices out there. So I think podcasting, community radio, Zoom, whatever you want to use, is very important, you know, to keep the conversation going. Because if you just listen to or talk about mainstream media, you're only talking about a quarter of the things that are out there. So give yourself a little plug. We're almost out of time.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Cynthia, for having me on your show and talking about podcasting, which I love so much. People can get in touch with me outside of your show at tntbsmedia.com. That stands for This Needs to Be Said Media.
Okay, great. You've been listening to Catherine Jones. I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is Women Who Inspire, and if you like this show, follow us on Facebook. Catherine, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.